Okay. Can I have a couple of people help me with communion? We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ, and it's profound to think that he was the only man that was ever born to die. His number one mission in getting here was to die on the cross for us. Part of the whole passion of Christ was he went through and he took all the punishment that we deserved so that we could be set free. You know, his perfect sinless body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. And then he got scourged. He took stripes on his back for our healing. His body was pierced. And everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for that. And then they put him on the cross. And the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on him. I mean, he took every sin, every sickness, every disease, every lack. He took every part of the curse on him. Every part of it that we deserved, he took so that we could be treated the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking to this broken body for our healing and well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly sinless and pure that it never died. And it never will. The blood of Jesus is still pliable. There's no sin in his blood. So there's no death. So not only did the blood of Jesus wash us clean when we got born again, but the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into God's presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. That blood has put us into right standing with God. And now we qualify for all of his blessings because of the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. You know, it is by grace that we are saved. You know, and we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace that it might be by faith. But do we ever stop and just meditate on that? Being saved by grace. That's not just going to heaven. But right here on this earth. See, we still have need for salvation on this earth. I know we're born again, but we still need saved. You know, we still need protected, delivered, comforted. We need fed. Well, there's all kinds of things we need here on this earth. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but we have all kinds of challenges. We need God's grace every single day. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You know, even the Apostle Paul had challenges. You know, he had some big challenges. You know, he got drowned one time. He got beaten so bad one time they left him for dead. He had to do a lot of fasting. He spent a lot of time in jail. One lady, when I was in Bible school, she said, "You need to find a wife." And somebody said, "Well, Paul didn't have a wife." And she said, "Yeah, but he spent most of his time in jail." Miss Ann had a peculiar way of looking at things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, one of the things about living by faith is you'll find yourself getting out into areas where you don't think you can do it. And you're right. But what happens is a lot of people turn back and go back. And that's wrong. God wants us to get out there where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we can't do this. But God, with God, all things are possible. See, He wants us to get out there and accomplish things that are impossible to us. That way there's no way we can look at it and say, "Look what I did." We'll have to honestly say, "Look what God did." He's the only one that could have possibly pulled this off. It's His grace. With grace, all things are possible. Without grace, we're toast. Even sometimes we do things and it looks like we were just so talented. If we're honest, we'll look and we'll say, "It's God's grace." It's God that gives us the talent to do the things that we do. It's God that gives us the ability to do the things that we do. It's God that gives us the supply to do the things that we do. It's His grace. God's grace is sufficient. Now, we all have challenges. But did you notice that God did not remove the challenges, but yet we're still okay? We're always asking God to remove the challenges. You know, we're always asking God to remove the difficulties. And He's asking us to rely on His grace. His grace is sufficient in us. You know, God didn't just remove all of Paul's challenges. Paul had a pretty good connection with God, wouldn't you say? If there's anybody that would have a 911 direct line to God, it would be Paul. But yet God didn't remove all of his difficulties. But yet Paul was okay. And Paul had peace of mind and he had peace of heart. Look at verse 9 down here. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It doesn't say anything at all about us being strong in and of ourselves. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's always in him. It's always his grace. It's always in Jesus. It's who we are in him. This is why it's so very important for us to identify with Christ. Every chance we get, we need to identify with him. Find those things in the Bible where it says in whom, in him, you know, through him. Whatever it is, talking about us being in Christ, we need to latch on to that. You know, it says, the Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. All too many times, people are going out there trying to do all things. But that's only half of the verse, isn't it? It's always got to be through him and in him. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. He is our strength. Even in our weakness, he is our strength. And when our weaknesses seem to glow, his strength much more glows. Even Paul said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, there was a teaching floating around that kind of had me worried for a long time. It says you could fall from grace. Oh, man. What am I going to do about this? So I asked somebody one time. He said, well, if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again, you're going to fall from grace. Wow, that's not good, you know, because everybody has some challenges that we have to face, and sometimes these challenges seem to be reoccurring. Well, I was reading the Bible one day, and somebody come up to him and said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? And Jesus said, 70 times 7, in a day. That's 490 times a day. A day. 490 times a day. You can do the math and break that down, but that's almost like you're just forgiving him with every breath you take. And I thought, you know, if Jesus tells us to be that way with our fellows, how much more is he going to be that with us? That's grace. He has a never-ending supply and a never-ending flow of grace for us. What we need to do is get out of the way of that grace. You know, see, Paul said he did not frustrate the grace of God. So how is it that he did not frustrate the grace of God? See, Paul knew the law inside and out. There are very few people that knew the law as good as him. But he refused to live by the law because he did not want to frustrate the grace of God. So he wouldn't pick up one iota of that law. He knew full well that Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He was set free from that. So he didn't frustrate the grace of God by picking up the law. He wanted to live in that mercy of God. Just go back up to verse 8. Grace that it might depart from me. See, Paul had challenges, and he asked God to remove these challenges. How many of us have spent a lot of time asking God to remove our challenges? But he told Paul, said, my grace is sufficient in thee. You're going to be okay. See, sometimes we just need to hear, you're okay. Even in the midst of calamity, you know, we may not think we're okay, but we are okay. See, Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit as our comforter, our teacher, our paraclete, our helper in times of need. He's here to tell us we're okay. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit spends most of his time doing is convincing us that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're in right standing. See, sometimes people will make a mistake and they'll think, well, now I'm in trouble with God. No. You couldn't do one thing to get yourself into right standing with God to begin with. And how do you think you're so important that you can get yourself out of right standing with God? By making a mistake? If there's one sin that the blood of Jesus could not take care of, he couldn't take care of any of it. See, people like to put weights on sins. They say, well, this thing is bigger than this one, so it's going to have a heftier judgment. And this one's really bad. You know, this is a little one. We're not going to hold this guy accountable to that one. But this one's big. He told. Did you know that sin is a state? You've been removed from that. Jesus paid the price for all sins. All of them. Did you know there's only one sin that will get you sent to hell? And it's not suicide, by the way. See, I don't like that teaching at all. That's a horrible, horrible, horrible teaching. And people do that out of misunderstanding. They say, well, he shot himself, he's going to hell. No, he's not. God had mercy on him. You know, there's some people have PTSD that it gets so bad, they just cannot deal with it anymore, and they need peace and comfort. Did you know they have a right to go home? And God received them with open arms. There's one sin that gets you sent to hell, and that's rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the only one, because there's nothing God can do about that. If you reject Jesus, he can't do anything about that. You have a free will. You know, God has mercy for us. And his grace will carry us through even in our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but weaknesses is what drove us to the Lord. You know, there's some people, you know, they grow up in church and by the grace of God, they have a really good life and then they get born again and they stay with God and they just, things go well for them. There's some of us that were raised like a coyote pup and things got really hairy for us before we decided to turn to God and ask him for help. Those are weaknesses driving us to find a solution to the chaos in our life. We didn't have any talent to get ourselves saved. It was only by His grace. You know, every one of us, whether we like to admit it or not, have thorns in our flesh. See, Paul talked about that thorn in his flesh. He asked God to remove it, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." That's probably not the answer God that Paul was wanting God to give him. I imagine he really wanted it removed because he asked him three times. You know, one of the thorns in the flesh could be moral, mental, or physical weaknesses. Literally, utter helplessness, infirmity of body, weakness of ability. How many have ever felt helpless in a situation? Yeah. Sometimes we just face circumstances that seem to be beyond our ability, and they are. That's when we need to reach out to God and say, "How do I help this person? How do I deal with this situation?" You know, I get thrust into those opportunities all the time. Somebody wants me to come up with an answer. And sometimes there's just no real good answer for some of the things that we face. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." There's a lot of times people come and ask me to pray, and I have absolutely no idea what's going on, and I seldomly know the full truth. You know, I'm the last one they're going to tell the truth to, seems like. But they want me to pray and make things all right. So I spend some time locating them. You know, really find out what's going on. And one thing that really drives me nuts is the gossip. You know, and something will happen. Somebody will hear something about somebody, and they won't go ask that somebody. So they'll take half of the story that they heard and run with it as being the truth and just cause wreckage wherever they go. If you don't know the full story, you're gossiping. And you're not going to know the full story unless you go ask the other half, the other one, what's going on. You know, I've ran into this. You know, people, a lot of times when they decide they're going to break up with their spouse, they're not interested in marriage counseling. They're interested in you picking sides. They'll come and tell you everything about him or her. But you got to know something. There's three sides to the story. There's the side he tells, the side she tells, and then there's the truth. If you can ever get to that third part, then you can get some healing. A lot of times we don't know how we should pray. That's why it's so important for us to be able to pray in tongues. So we can turn it over to God. We can just pray. Sometimes He'll ask us to pray in tongues. And we won't know who or what we're praying for. We're just praying. That's okay. We don't have to know everything. Did you know you don't know everything anyway? So you should be able to roll with praying in tongues and not knowing what you're praying about. It'll be okay. And sometimes when we're really struggling with something that we got to have an answer for, praying in tongues is really good. He'll give us understanding if we ask for it. That's how we pull up revelation from deep inside of us. You know, we can run into a verse in the Bible that we don't understand. We can pray about it in tongues. Ask Holy Spirit to help us with that. That's a weakness that we have. And He needs to help us with that. And He will. You know, another thorn in the flesh are insults and reproaches and hurt. You know, slander. You know, there's always somebody around to say something. There's always somebody trying to destroy something. You know, and it's just a mess. There's always somebody going to talk about somebody, try to destroy what they have. Before you say anything about anybody, you need to repeat John chapter 10, verse 10. Think about this for just a second. The first part of that verse says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So before you say something, check in with that verse and say, is this trying to steal, kill, and destroy? Or is this trying to bring life and bring life more abundantly? Literally, whose team am I going to be working for today? We really need to watch our tongues. It's not good for us to just go talking about people. Well, I heard something about them. This is what they did. You don't have any idea. If you were not there, you don't know. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says He'll help us with our infirmities. We all have these weaknesses, and we all need His guidance. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 4. All too often, we have these knee-jerk reactions. You know, we hear something, we got to do something. You know, one time I had an oil field incident. I was the manager, and my boss was them. And there was a big fight out in the field between a couple of my drivers. So I called the first one in, and he was talking about racism. My boss flew off the handle and said, we're not going to have racism. You get that other guy in here, you deal with it. So I said, well, wait a minute. We got to get the full story. So we got the other guy in. He told his story, and it was different than the first guy. And my boss was still mad. I said, no, wait a minute. There's one more guy that was there that doesn't have a dog in the hunt. And he came in and he told the truth. And it was completely different than what either one of them, other two, had to say. He wasn't going to be affected by anything at all, one way or the other. See, we always got to give it a little bit of time before we make a judgment on somebody or something. You know, especially one thing this nation really needs to learn is to not fly off the handle. You remember when 9/11 happened and somebody blamed Iraq and we flew off the handle? I mean, we were over there with planes and ships and cannons and bombs and we just destroyed that place. But it wasn't the truth. We weren't told the truth. But we acted on gossip. We acted on a lie. And I don't know how many lives got destroyed. See, we need to just stop and give things a little bit of time to work itself out. The truth will come to the surface. See, we overreacted. We went over there and did a whole bunch of harsh things, and then you notice what happened a year or two down the road, the truth started coming to the surface. Kind of late, we destroyed a whole bunch of lives, but we know the truth now. As people, we need to just stop. You know, somebody will get arrested or something will happen or something will go, and then everybody will just jump up and we'll go hang somebody. Just stop. Just stop until you know exactly what happened one way or the other. Don't make a bigger mess than what's already out there. You know, even in wrecks, His grace is sufficient for us. If you want to get a little crop of insults and accusations and lies and just anything, become a preacher. Become a preacher. And you watch how many people take things that you say completely out of context and go running around town. And they just, it just lies. It's all, it happens all the time. But that's one of the things that, you know, we just have to rely on God's grace and He'll get us through it. You got to know that there's a devil out there and that there are people that are more than willing to work for the devil, even when they're in church shouting hallelujah. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. They relied on the Holy Spirit. They relied on His way of doing things. They needed something. They asked the Holy Spirit, and it seemed right for them to do that. So they picked these different servants. Is there anybody needs anything today? Everybody has needed something today. Does anybody have a reason to rely on the Holy Spirit and His grace? Everybody has a reason to rely on the Holy Spirit and His grace. How many people actually meditate and think about the grace of God? See, I put a sign up. We made a sign going to our house. By His grace. You can't get shore porch without seeing that sign by His grace. Grace is something that we need to keep on the forefront of our thinking. Even in persecutions. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21 says, "Yet has he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." You know, the word, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but the word of God is offensive to the flesh. And a lot of times people get born again and they go try to tell somebody about Jesus, and these people persecute them. They hound them. They make them feel unwelcome. They make them feel bad. They razz them till they don't want to talk about Jesus anymore. And actually, I seen a lady get born again. She was Jewish. She got born again one day. And she was crying. All her life, she had been told that Jesus was just a thief. And she had never been taught to read. And another thing, now that she had accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, she was going to be rejected by her family. See, there's persecutions that we'll never notice, we'll never see. But we see day-to-day persecutions. You know, if you're not of the right denomination, you can't get along with this other denomination. It's different here, but I've seen churches up home, they wouldn't walk across the street to put a fire out at another church. That's a severe division in the body of Christ. Regardless of what denomination you belong to, if you're born again, you're part of the body of Christ. One of the things I really learned to really dislike about the Bible Belt were these battle lines. Everybody had them. Had these battle lines. They'd ask you something, and I could smell bait. I learned how to smell bait a long ways away. They'd ask me some pointed little peculiar question because they wanted to know what I believed so they could have a way to argue with me. See how petty things get sometimes? Now when somebody asks you these pointed questions, I believe the Lord is Lord of all. He is Jesus. He is risen from the dead. He died for my sins. Anything beyond that that they need to know, they need to go ask the Bible. Don't waste your time arguing doctrine with anybody. We're not ever going to come to agreement in doctrine. The Bible says we're going to come into the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine, but we are going to come together in the unity of the faith. I believe one of these days Jesus is going to stand before us and all these little doctrinal ideas that we've had over the years, all these church disputes, all these fights are going to melt away. And we're going to have one church. And Jesus is going to be the head of that. He will set it up. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. There's one of those things, through him, it's in Jesus. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That means nothing can separate us from the grace of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, so nothing can separate us from the grace of God. So we can always rely on the grace of God, no matter what we may be facing. No matter what kind of challenge gets set before us, we always have the grace of God. If to answer that question I had about falling from grace, if you do anything, you fall into grace. Grace is a good thing. Grace is a God thing. Grace is something that we really need to meditate on. We can be distressed. We can have anguish. We can be fighting fear. We can be fighting slander. We can be finding any number of things, but the grace of God is always there. There could be diseases, there could be famines, there could be wars, there could be anything that the devil may throw our way, we still have the grace of God. We may not have the answer, but we have the grace of God. I would rely on the grace of God over my own answer. Some people say it's better to be lucky than good. I'll go by grace. I'd rather have the grace of God than be good. Because whatever my talent may be, it cannot even touch the grace of God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us every day. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to give us a bigger revelation of the grace of God. Help us to understand your grace. Father, we ask you to show us how to see your grace in every situation. Father, we ask you to point that grace out to us. Let us see it. Help us to see it. Holy Spirit, show us how to identify grace in all these situations so we can learn more about relying on the grace of God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.